Episode 45. We're talking about words that feel really inviting, and we're going to take out of our vocabulary those words that are so, so inciting. And that's our topic on this episode of the Leading Chaos Podcast. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much for accepting my invitation to tune into this podcast. It's a great topic that we have this week and one that is really important to me to discuss, and I think you will agree. I'm talking about tip number 6 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict, and this is part of the ongoing series called The Leading Chaos Story, where I'm reading out of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And when we look at these 10 tips, and I've been breaking them down each week, I look at number 6, and I can't tell you how many times I discuss this in the seminars that I teach on conflict management, because it's so important. And the interesting thing about words in general is that they kind of roll off the tip of our tongue. At least we hope they do, right? And when we are under that stressful situation where we're doing a crisis intervention, or we are in crisis, or we're assisting someone in any capacity, we often go to the words that are most familiar to us. And what gets a little sticky there is some of those words that are really familiar aren't really the best. So we're going to be polishing the stone a little bit today and discussing and looking at how we incorporate different words that really move a conversation forward. And that's what I consider the invitation. You're asking that person to come along with you and move out and away from the chaos of the moment and onto solid ground. So we're looking at those words. And we're also, in turn, we have to look at some key words and phrases that can really kick us off the path. Because if we don't discuss that, then when they come up, we'll be scratching our heads saying, well, should I have said that? And we're going to clear that up. So let's begin with a couple key phrases and words that any of us might say at any given time. And here's the first one. And As I say this, I want you to just feel what it does for you. Does it invite you to come along, or does it incite you and shut you down? So this is something that we might hear in any given day. Stop acting out. How does that feel? Not so great. Or how about, no, this is classic. Relax. Relax already. How does that feel? How about this one? Get a grip of yourself. All right. I'm kind of like grinding my teeth here as I'm saying this. Now, those phrases, they're actually kind of common. And we say them with the intention of helping somebody because we want them to buck up and, you know, kick into third gear and create some kind of like, I don't know, standard for themselves to like move forward on. But this next phrase is the most commonly used phrase, and you hear it a lot. You see it a lot on TV. Every time I see it on TV, I kind of shriek and say, no, don't do that. And it's used quite a bit. And this is the phrase, calm down. I could go anywhere in the world right now. I know that the phrase, calm down, is being used everywhere and being used with people who are really, really vulnerable, whether it's in a psychiatric care facility or a hospital, a nursing home, a small child. We say those words, calm down, because we believe we're helping that person. You need to calm down. Well, what's a classic reply is, calm? I am calm. You don't want to see me upset. Or, I don't need to do anything. You need to calm down. And you can see how that immediately kicks up and incites the situation. And what is it really telling us? Calm down. Well, a person in crisis is thinking, calm what? My actions? My words? My voice? See, there's no definition to insightful words. They come out really in a mean way, even if we're doing that with the best intentions. Frankly, when I hear that word, it's kind of like scratching your nails on a chalkboard. You know, it really drives me crazy. And then I also hear people using it that we're going to be using calming techniques. I'm like, wow, you know, well, don't try to use them on me, because the only person who could calm me down or calm you down, it's ourself. We choose whether or not we're going to be calm. And the way that we get there to get calm is by getting those basic needs met. Initially, it's going back to that food and water that I've talked about in just the past couple episodes, and also that ability to feel safe. Safe in this capacity means we're not fearful of being harmed both mentally nor physically. That is what helps people get calmed down. Calming words, I don't know. When we use that, I see that in crisis intervention curriculums, I kind of go, why are people using that? Because it gives us a false sense of security that by using these words, I'm going to be able to calm you down. No, that's not true. That person is going to choose whether or not they calm down. The way to turn it around is to look at words of invitation that invite a person along and they don't incite that person. So what can we do instead? The way to look at this is, why did you want to say calm down to begin with? And typically the answer is, well, that person was speaking too quickly, or they're moving around, or they're yelling, or they're acting outrageous. Well, if you don't clarify that for that person, they're not going to know what you mean. So let's be very concrete and provide an invitation that tells them exactly what to do, much like you'd get an invitation in the mail that says this is the time, the place, what to wear, what to bring, what to expect. When we do a crisis intervention and we want to create an invitation that is opening communication, we want to be concrete, authentic, and really clear. So if I see a person who's really agitated, and let's say they're loud and their voice is really, really loud, instead of saying calm down, I could begin with, I want to hear you. Please speak slowly. That's concrete. It's authentic, because of course I want to hear the person. And it's really clear. It's giving the person a description of exactly what is going on and what can be done to help them and myself be successful. Let's take another example. Let's say a person is snorting and they're banging their fist on the table, just as I just did. You know, it's loud and grumpy. Well, what do we say there? Well, we could go to that knee-jerk response and say, you got to calm down. Or we could be authentic, concrete, and clear and say, I want to hear you. You're banging hard. Can you wiggle your fingers? What does that mean, huh? Whenever I say that kind of phrase in the classroom, people go, Rhea, what are you doing? You're saying all these like kind of crazy phrases. And what I'm doing there is I'm providing these different progressive interventions that break down the task. I'm clarifying to the person. I'm saying, I want to hear you, or I'm being descriptive. You're banging really hard. So identify exactly what they're doing. I mean, why not? They're doing it. But sometimes, in truth, people don't even realize they're doing something like, you know, their shoulders are up to their ears, or they're banging really hard, or they're yelling. When people are in crisis, they often don't realize what's going on in their body. So the more I provide a very concrete description for them, the successful we both will be. So words of invitation are exactly that, inviting the person along on your journey. And remember that an invitation is authentic, clear, and concise, or what I like to always say, very concrete. It gives them a solid foundation to stand on. Avoid those words that incite, that are just calling on the person to like clamp up, you know, deal with it, get a grip, relax already. Those aren't going to feel great. And what will happen, unfortunately, even when you're trying to do something out of the best intentions, that person will only hear you criticizing them. And as soon as we get criticized, well, I don't know about you, but I shut down. And nobody wants that in the end, do we? The invitation is a request to have that person join you. They could choose whether or not they're going to join you. That is their choice. But if you create an opening, you're more likely to have some type of communion there with that person. And that means some type of gathering and opening the avenues of communication. And something that could follow up, if they actually do respond, they give you a little bit of eye contact, they tilt their head to the side, they might not fully turn and say, "Yes, ma'am, what are you saying?" That would be beautiful, right? But it doesn't always happen. If they give you the slightest inclination that they heard you, we always follow up with, "Thank you for listening." And then I typically, my style, and again, you have to find your own, I'll say for myself, I'm going to take a deep breath in, maybe you'd like to join me, and I start going, and I hold it, and then we all breathe out. That's just so delicious to share with you. Thank you for that. So something to think about, leading a person towards behaviors that provide instant relief and control. It's really different than demanding that he or she acts in a manner that makes you comfortable. That's what happens when we tell somebody to calm down. And we hear that often on TV or in movies, and we see the classic example of a police officer arriving on a scene and telling the really distressed mother or father, calm down, you know, in a very direct voice. But in that case, you know, it's kind of a setup for failure. And maybe a police officer has the ability and the authority to do that. You better get your act together quick, or you could get arrested, or even worse, put into some type of restraint. But I think our officers in law enforcement, and even in military, anyone in authority, a teacher, a compassionate caregiver in some capacity, we have so much more to say than just calm down for the person. And I think if you know someone who works in that capacity, and if that's you yourself who is working as an officer, take a look around today, tomorrow, and see how many times you see that use of that word calm down, and make a mental check. How is that person responding? Are we really giving them enough information to move it forward? Or are we actually making our job harder for ourselves because we're giving that person so little information to actually get their self in check and garner some self-control? I mean, just to tell a person, calm down without giving them any type of leadership, it's a waste of time. And we work harder when we don't really provide a full invitation of what we want that person to do. So try it. Look around. And if you aren't that officer or that teacher or that caregiver, I bet you know somebody who is. And if you know them, like them, love them, share this episode with them, or at least have a conversation about the use of the word calm down. And here's another little thought for you. If you know the words that incite you, share them with your loved one, not with the intention that they'll use it at your worst and darkest hour, but that they will avoid saying those words to you and instead practice saying what you do want to hear. So make sure that you could have that conversation, like a little feast on what works and what doesn't work. That's what you could have. And really set yourself up and those you love on a path toward success. What do you like to hear when you're in distress? For me, sometimes I like a little bit of space. Just let me kind of huff and puff. And then I won't blow the house down. If you give me a little bit of space, I do pretty well with that. And I also like to hear words of encouragement. You know, go on. Please say more. I want to hear. Or you're speaking really loudly, Rhea. Please slow down so I can hear you. That works for me. And not just because I wrote a curriculum called Response Training Programs on this topic. That works for me because I'm a human just like you who loves to be seen and heard and acknowledged. And that's really what it's about. And I like that invitation that somebody gives to me in my darkest hours that says, hey, you're important. I want to hear what you're saying versus get your act together and deal. Now, I want to just finish this piece up and say, in acute crisis situations, if I'm working with a coworker or I'm on a response team, like a high velocity team that goes in and does a response, and I'm kind of that quivering person right then, I might need my co-partner, co-leader, co-instructor to say, you got to buck up. Or you need to get that together right now. There might not be time for it because seconds count there. And at that point, you need to go in and manage yourself really clear. But with that said, make sure that you have a conversation beforehand on what to say to me when I'm kind of losing it, if I'm kind of shaking in my boots. That's kind of a good thing to do. You know, a friend of mine just the other day, I was telling him about some plans I had and I was feeling a little bit nervous. And he just said like the best thing to me. And he said, you gotta buck up, Rhea. And I loved it. You know, he was right. I had to kind of buck up at that moment and it allowed me to kind of shake it off. So in the end, timing is really important. And I had a relationship with this individual where the topic was not so charged that I could hear that phrase. Had he said, you got to calm down, it probably wouldn't have worked. But sometimes we could tell somebody to really get their act together. So you got to weigh it out. Where's your timing? Where's the purpose? And what kind of invitation are you creating? Is it an invitation to open communication? Or is this an invitation out of a critical moment where, like, if I don't tell you to move, that car is going to come right down on you right now? You know, you have to be very, very direct in your purpose. So again, quick review, be authentic, be clear and concise, and really set that path out so whatever you say, the person will be open to follow you. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and use invitations and practice what you want to hear or what you want to have said to you when you're in a state of distress. And there will always be an opening for you to follow. Be well. Ciao for now.